Well, good morning and welcome to the TMC call. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you to just tell you we love you, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you for this day. A day we never saw before. We just want to welcome you to this call, Father God, for you said we're two, we're gathered in your name, you in the midst, and you in the midst of us, Father. And so we thank you, and we bless you, and we praise you. We magnify you. We honor you. We extol you. We lift your name on high. So, Father, we just want you to have thine own way today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Pastor V. Thank you for Dr. P.K. Roberts, Lord. And thank you for the Artist International family, Lord God. Thank you for the Diaz de Leon family. Had it not been for them, Father God, we wouldn't be together. We wouldn't be connected. But we just want to thank you, Father. We don't take you for granted. We just want you to know that we love you with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. And Father God, we want to obey you even the more. Help us to love each other even the more, Father God. By this, they're going to know that we're your disciples, Lord. Let the love of God that's in our hearts help us to give it away, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, we want to move out the way and want you to have the right of way. We want you to take over the speaker, Lord. Have thine own way in Jesus' matchless name, and we won't fail to praise you. Thank you so much for this Tuesday, Lord, a day we never saw before. We love you, we need you, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor for what you're doing now, what you did in the past, and thank you for our future. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Host, are you there?
Yes, I am, Minister Wanda. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Well,
take it away.
God. Praise God, and thank you so much, Minister Wanda, for greeting and seating everyone to this master's call this morning. And thank you again for starting our day with a powerful, powerful prayer. And we thank you again for that great tag, Be Thankful Tuesday. Praise God, Be Thankful Tuesday. Well, good morning, TMC family. And I join Minister Wanda in welcoming you to the Master's Call. I'm Brenda Terrell from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And we say welcome, welcome, welcome. And even to our first-time guests, if this is your first time, we're really excited and delighted that you took the time out to be with us today. And we invite you to continue to join us each and every day and be a part of us. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Central, and 5 o'clock Pacific. Praise God. So we also want to give you just a little insight of what this call is all about. We give God praise and glory for two blessed women of God who started this call back in 2010 of October. And yes, we're about to celebrate 5 wonderful years. And they are our co-founders, Dr. P.K. Roberts, who we call Miss Super Fantastic. And we also have our very own Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, who we dearly call our Mother Eagle. And this call was established with the scripture, Psalms 88:13, where it says, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." Now, our mission statement is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as they begin their day. And we know that this is what's taking place each and every morning with these powerful, powerful messages. And we invite you to invite others, your family, your friends, your foes, invite them all to come and get a blessing from the Lord here on the Master's Call. We have a website that you can visit, and it is www.themasterscall.net. That's www.themasterscall.net. And on this site, you can listen to past messages. You can read the bios of our messengers, and also there oftentimes we have prayer directives on there. So we invite you to consistently check our website out. Now, if you feel led of the Lord, and we believe many of you have that hunch, but have not made that move, okay? So we want you to come on and be a part of the blessing. It's not hard. It's just a part of being a blessing, being an honor to the Lord, and just allowing God to use you. So come on, be a greeter. Come on and give a word of the Lord. And come on and be a part of something that's great in the Master's hands, okay, because he's here to use you. We want you to make yourself to be available to be used by God. Praise God. So why don't you go on and submit your information to info@themasterscall.net. That's info@themasterscall.net. And Dr. Vanessa, our Minister Robin, who's our prayer general, will contact you, okay? Now, we're blessed to be a part of a phenomenal God-ordained health and wellness company that's assisting millions around the world with healthier lives and with their awesome, awesome products. Now, this great company is Artist International, and it was established by the Diaz de Leon family over 25 years ago. So you know it is solid. Now, to get more information about this great company, get with the person that invited you to this call. Or you can get on the morning motivational call right after this call. It's held Monday through Fridays, and it's hosted by our Platinum President, Dorothy Cook, and a team of leaders. You will get some vital information on our products. That number is 530-881-1300. Again, that's 530-881-1300. And the PIN is 539-598-POUND. Now, I know you are ready to hear a word from the Lord, because I tell you, we have a powerful, powerful, victorious woman of God who has this scripture, and I love it, and it's Matthew 11:12, where she says, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I tell you, this woman of God, this victorious woman of God, was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, back in 1972, and she was born to a single teenage mother. Praise God. But God had a destiny for her. And I tell you, what the devil meant for bad, God used it for her good. It was at a very young age that she knew that her life was different from others, and that she was called by God to be set apart and set aside for his use. Now, at the age of 13, she realized even then that she was brought up in a church that she needed to make her relationship with God personal. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 14. Hallelujah. And she began preaching the gospel to many churches around Las Vegas area. Now, at the age of 17, she was ordained as an evangelist and a youth pastor. And together with her husband, overseer Eugene P. Lewis, she co-pastored and founded Lion of Judah Ministries in January 2004 with the mandate of equip the saints with the lost and recover the backslider. Now, Pastor Lavona Lewis has over 12 years of experience being a youth pastor, serving under her great-grandmother, Pastor Almery Gaston, as well as serving alongside her husband as Anointed Tabernacle's assistant pastor for 9 years. Now, Pastor Lewis is a graduate of University of Phoenix, Arizona, with a bachelor's degree in human health services. She also received not one, but two master's degrees, one in special education and the other in Master of Divinity, with high extensions, distinction. Now, she has completed a year course going towards her doctorate. She has had a successful radio ministry, traveled preaching the gospel, trained young people to live a life of abstinence and virtue, and prepared those who were called to preach, teaching them how to live the life they preach about. Now, we need more like Pastor Lavonia, don't we? Praise God. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's a sister, she's a daughter, a teacher, a student, a counselor, a pastor, and a friend. And I tell you, she is a mouthpiece for the Lord Almighty. So I introduce to some and present to others none other than our co-pastor, Lavona Lewis, from Las Vegas, Nevada. Are you there, Pastor Lewis?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
God bless you. We thank you, praise God. For those of you who are on our call this morning, we thank you, praise God, for our wonderful ladies who are the visionaries and of this wonderful call. We thank you, praise God, for the artisans who get up every morning and help to make this call a success. And we thank you, praise God, for you getting up and making a decision that you would start your morning out with the Word of God, with prayer, saying that I need a little more Word in me to get my day started, for my day to be ready to go and to be a successful one. I do bring you greetings all the way from the other side of the back side of the Mojave Desert, the place where the lights are bright, the sin is great, but the grace abounds even greater. I thank God for being born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, the headquarters for our own Artists International. We bless God for the Diaz de Leon family, my family, your family. And I'm coming today, the pastor of Lion of Judah, my pastor with my husband, and we are on a mission to equip the saints and to recover the backslider, to win the loss. And we thank God as it's mandated in his word. I'm coming to you today real quick, real briefly, and I want to talk to you, amen, about a book, a big bad bully. And so a big bad bully, you know, we know that it's unfortunate reality that we live in a world that exists with bullies. You know, we've heard about it, you hear about it, and you know, there are some people and we all know that they are in our lives who enjoy pushing other people around. They enjoy having the so-called power of, you know, dominating over another person. Bullies have existed in this world since Cain killed Abel. At the dawn of the human race, we've always dealt with bullies. And you know a bully. Children deal with bullies every day. People work with bullies on the job. They're bullies in our neighborhood. They're bullies in our church. Yeah, I said it. There are bullies in our church. There's bullies in the public. There are bullies everywhere. And they inhabit every sphere and space of our life. And so let me define a bully for those of you who say, well, what exactly is a bully? You know, you're throwing this word around. A bully is the use of the threats of coercion to intimidate others. It is the activity of repeated aggressive behavior intended to hurt another person, either physically or emotionally. You didn't realize that there was some emotional bullies. Lord, I love to see you cry. I love to see you sad. I love to see you depressed. Bullying can even include verbal harassment and threats, not just physical assaults, but also verbal ones. Coercion, the word coercion is the use of intimidation or force to force someone into doing your will. So see, you think that you just, you know, pouting and I want it done this way, and you think that you're going to, you know, get someone to do your will. That's, you're trying to coerce someone. That's coercion. It's a form of coercion. So that bullying is characterized by someone who behaves in a certain way in order to gain power over someone else. So my question to you is, what's bullying you? Who's bullying you? And then now we're going to flip it. Are you bullying someone else? There are some situations in your life that is trying to bully you. Something trying to get a physical, emotional, or verbal intimidation and trying to bully you and trying to intimidate you into acting a certain way. One thing I love about our God is he's never a bully. He's a gentleman. He doesn't have to coerce us. He doesn't have to use force. He doesn't have to, you know, flinch at us and make us do something that he doesn't want to do. No, he loves us. A bully lacks empathy for somebody other. They have to control somebody, get angry quickly. They constantly remind other people about their weaknesses. They pick on people who don't comply to their expectations, and they make others afraid through threats. They use physical aggression to intimidate. They defy anyone who try to oppose their power. There's some, like I said, some bullies in your life. There's some bullies in your church. You maybe even sleep with a bully, may be married to a bully, may have shared a womb with a bully, maybe was raised by a bully. But the Bible teaches us about a particular bully. There's bullies all through the scriptures, all through. If you would ask Goliath, I mean, if you would ask Israel about their bullying, they probably would have said that their Goliath was their hopeless situation. It was a hopeless situation. They didn't think they was going to be able to get out of it. If you would ask King Saul, he probably would have said, you know what, I agree with them. It was hopeless. There was no way we were going to be able to get out of that. However, if you would ask David about the bully that Israel's talking about, he would have said, look, Goliath, yes, he is a bully. However, God is getting ready to deal with him. I come to you today out of 1 Samuel, and it's the story, and I'm going to give you some homework to finish it up. If you haven't read the entire story, it starts in the 17th chapter, but it's going to go all the way from the 1st to the 54th verse. And so I'm going to summarize it for you today. And some of us already know the story. We know about the children of Israel and how Goliath had come against them, and there was this great standoff and this great bully who was yelling at the people of God and who was screaming. And 17 starts saying, verse 1 says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoko, and which belonged to Judah. They pitched there between Shoko and Azekah in Ephesus. And it talks of, goes on and talks about how Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched in the valley, and they set the battle army against the Philistines. And so in this time, what was going on to set the scene for you a little better is that it wasn't like what we see on TV where, you know, you have one army on one side, you have another army on another, and you begin to just charge and charge, and everyone battles together. No, no, no. What happened is you would have to send out your champion, and then the opposing forces or army would send out their champion, and they would go at it together, and they would begin to battle each other. And so that champion and whoever won that would be the one who would be the winner for the entire army, and they would possess the spoils and possess the land. And so we have Goliath, and I love how it goes on to describe Goliath, and it says in 17 and 4, it said, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits a span, and he had his helmet. He was a big boy. Some said maybe over 9 feet tall. He was huge, and he was bigger than anything the Israelites had seen. But they understood that Gath was the place of giants. Remember, that was the place that they had to go in to say, see if they could take over that city where they were told the 10 spies were sent in. And they looked and said, you know what, this is crazy. We can't overtake this land. It's inhabited by giants. We can't come from there. So see, they understood how big and beastly these people could possibly be. And so we got this giant standing there, and he's standing, and he says, the six goes on to say that he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was about 5,000 shekels of brass. Look, this man wasn't just huge, but he was armored. He was built. He was covered. And it looked like an impossible situation. There's some things going on, some Goliaths in your life that look impossible. Yeah, it looked like it's huge. It looked big. It looks armored. It looks like not only can you not penetrate it, but it has this huge brass and these legs that it's standing on, and its shoulders is wide. You can't get around it. It's too tall to get over, and the legs are too strong for you to even try to get under. But not just that, but it stands with the spear like a weaver's beam. It's huge. So not only is it, it's impenetrable, I can't get past it, but it looks like it's coming after me. It looks like it's going to take me out. And so the Bible goes on to describe him, and he's standing there, and he's yelling, and he's crying out to them. And he's like, look, y'all need to send somebody out to fight me. I'm coming to represent the Philistines, but who y'all got to represent y'all? You need to send somebody out here. If you send somebody out here and you come and they whoop me and they beat me, look, I'll give over to you. I'll let you have it. I'll let you take over. Y'all weird. But he knew. And so sometimes your situation will scream out at you. Sometimes your situation will bark at you. Sometimes your situation will say, yeah, you thought you had it, but you thought you was going to be in a good marriage with a wonderful husband, but I'm getting ready to take your husband. He's going to walk away from you. Sometimes your situation will laugh at you and the red letters on the bills will scream at you louder than the red letter in your Bible, and they'll say, I'm getting ready to turn your power off. And yeah, I'm getting ready to turn your water off. You can't afford to pay me. And then your Goliath and your giant will begin to yell at you and say, yeah, look at your business. You ain't sold none in a while. Your team ain't working like they're supposed to. Your Goliath will yell at you. Your Goliath will come in your physical body and say, yeah, you thought you were going to be healthy, but look, you even sell wellness products, and I'm getting ready to attack your body. Do you not know your Goliath is yelling at you? Oh, but the Bible says, talks about 12, and said, now David was the son of the Ephratite. And so and here we're introducing now David, this little bitty, ruddy boy, the youngest, 14 said it. David was the youngest of the three eldest. Of his six and seven of the brothers. He's the youngest, and he's out there watching sheep. He's out there keeping sheep. He's not a warrior. He's not a fighter. He's not somebody who's been trained in battle. He's not somebody that you would just look upon and say, go get David. He can beat this Goliath. He's not somebody that was on the top of their thought. Saul wasn't saying, I need a David right now. No, your situation is going to scream at you. It's going to try to bully you. It's going to try to mess with you. And the least likely thing, the least likely person, you and your worship is going to be the only thing that's going to defy this bully. The only thing that's going to break the back of this bully is going to be you and your worship. It goes on to read, if you read down, I love 29, and I know I'm skipping, but go down to 29. It said that David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I love this because the Bible talks about how David only came just to bring the lunch for the warriors. But when he got there, they were all hiding behind trees and bushes. Wait a minute. David said, wait, I'm the littlest thing here. I'm the most unintimidating person here. But wait, y'all hiding and you guys are supposed to be the ones to fight. Have you ever seen somebody you thought was strong and they hiding? You looking at them and they supposed to be the leader. They're supposed to be your shero, your hero. You was expected, but they're hiding because they're scared. Sometimes you can't call your pastor. Sometimes you can't call sister so-and-so. Sometimes you can't call on deacon brother this and elder this. Sometimes they scared. The people you think that's betrayed the battle may be scared. Sometimes it takes little old you, David, little old insignificant you. I don't know how to fight. I don't know that many scriptures. I ain't never preached a word in my life. You know what? You're just the one. You're just the one to kill this David. And you stand out there in the sheep with the sheep at the back. You back there, you're hiding too. We need you to come out, David. Come out and stand for it. And I need you to take a look at what's going on because there's going to be some giants out there that you need to kill, not just a bully of your life. But you got to come and help some other folk in the bullying of their life. Every morning that the preachers get up on this call, every morning that the prayer warriors get up, every morning that our two sisters, the visionaries of this call get up, and we get on this call, we're fighting that bully, and we're taking him out. But not just us, but every time you pick the phone up and get on this phone, you're learning how to kill a bully in your life and in the life of someone else. As I close, look, it goes on down into the scriptures. It goes, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. And it goes on, and he said, David came, and you know the story. David had five smooth stones. They tried to put Saul's armor on him and say, look, you know what, let's get you ready. So David said, I'll step out there, I'll fight him. Is there not, there's a cause. He is mocking our God. He's coming against the covenant that God has given us. He's giving it, coming against the print of the blessings God set up for us. You got to get so godly angry until you say, enough is enough. This bully is trying to attack my promise. This bully is trying to attack my purpose. This bully is coming against what God said he has for me. No, you can't take my child. Yes, my child is going to college. Yes, my child is graduating from high school. Yes, my child is getting ready to become something. And that bully that comes to attack my child, it's got to go down today. You got to get mad enough and say, no, you're not taking my health. I rise up and I'm healed because I'm healed by stripes. You got to get mad and say, no, bully. No, 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 no. There is a cause. You're not coming against my church. I'm standing against you. No, you won't take my pastor and my first lady. No, you won't have my sister and my brother in church. No, you got to come and stand against them and say, look, but wait, I can't fight with your faith. I can't fight with your power. I can't fight with your anointing. I got to work with what I know what to work with. And what I know what to work with is five shiny, smooth stones. I know that. How did David know how to work with that? Because David had been out there with the sheep, and he had been protecting sheep for all this time. He grew up as a little shepherd boy. So, David said, I know this stuff. This is my terrain. I know how to work this. Why? Because while I was out there protecting them sheep, that's all I had to work with was a slingshot and a stone. So sometimes you got to, all you need is a slingshot and a stone. Some of you, all I need is a couple of minutes to pray. All I need is the time it takes for me to get in my car to go to work and the time to take it that to get to work. All I need is some prayer time. All I need is a little bit of space. Give me some room. Let me sit over here and pray for a little bit. And I promise you, by the time I get done slinging, when I get through slinging the word, when I get through slinging worship, when I get through slinging in prayer, I promise you, that giant, that bully that was standing up before I got there, he coming down. So I want to know what you doing with your, what stones do you hold? Where your stones? Where's your stones of prayer? Where's your stones of power? Where is your stone of anointing? Where is your stone? Come on. Where's your stone, David? It's time for you to get your stones. And you know, we talk about the five stones, and people got all the ideas of why five. It was only one. And was he scared he was going to miss, or was he scared that, you know, that he brought extra, you know, artillery with him? But I want to challenge you on this. You do know, if you didn't know, let me tell you now, that David never anticipated missing. He never anticipated missing. The only reason David brought four other stones was because Goliath had four other brothers. And so he said, look, when I take your brother down, you might want to jump up and get some too. Look, you need to bring some extra artillery of prayer, some extra artillery of worship, because that bully that came, you don't have no anticipation of not knocking it down. But just in case the enemy want to try to bring some more, just in case he want to steal, bring, you know, I didn't knock this down. And now, you know, one thing some people say all the time is, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Well, let's not say that. Let's get ready. If it ain't one thing, it's another. It ain't no problem, because I got extra stones. I love you, and I came to encourage your heart on this morning. I feel this thing, can't show up outside. I feel this thing because I'm sick of bullies. And one thing as a pastor, I'm sick of seeing the children of God bullied. Today is the last day. You won't be bullied another time. Take your stone of prayer. Take your stone of praise and worship. Take your stone of intercession for someone else. And take your stone of love. And I want you to take them rocks and take them stones and put them bad boys in your pocket. And don't forget your last fifth stone, and that's the stone of the word. And whenever that bully step up, I want you to be practicing every day how to whip that stone and knock him in his head, right between his eyes, because he got to fall. Today, your bully falls. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Love you.
Hallelujah. I receive it. Yes, yes, yes. We do receive it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that profound word, Co-Pastor Lavona Lewis. And I will be calling you back to give us our benediction. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We glorify you, Father, that you are our dwelling place throughout all generations. Even before the mountains were formed and you brought forth this earth, Lord, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We thank you, Father, that you are our rock, our sword and our shield. And Lord, even though bullies may come against us, we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We thank you, Father God, for giving us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Father, we ask, as the word was poured into us this morning, that you pour back into co-pastor Lavona Lewis and her family, Lord God. Pour back into her virtues, Lord God, like never before. Pour back into her, Father, the love, the peace, the joy, and overshadow her, Lord, with your great mercy, oh God. We thank you, Father, for putting your arms around her and letting her know how pleased you are with her, Lord, as she delivered your word to your people. We thank you, Father, for every individual on this call. We thank you, Father, that they are strengthened by this word and they're going forth as ministers in the marketplace. Not only them, but me with them, Father. We thank you, Father, for our co-pastors, Dr. Vanessa and Dr. PK, we thank you, Father, for keeping them in perfect peace. We thank you for Artists International. We thank you for those bereaved families, Lord, that you comforted them. Ivory and her family, Lord God, and Zelda and her family, Lord God, keep them in perfect peace. Father God, we thank you for Leroy, bringing him forth in victory through your love and your grace, Lord, and through the blood of Jesus. We thank you for every good and perfect gift coming from you. We give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And amen. Well, TMC family, yes, I know you want to hear this message again, and you can go back by listening to 712-432-1085. That's 712-432-1085, and the PIN is 957-677-POUND. Now, the motivational call is coming up next. That number is 530-881-1300. The PIN is 539-598-POUND. Thank you again, Minister Wanda, for seating and greeting the people, and thank you, co-pastor Lavona Lewis, for that powerful word of God. Would you come back and give us our benediction?
We thank God. We are grateful, God, for the time that you have imparted into us on today. We bless God for his word that lets us know that even though the bully may be intimidating, the bully may be big, the bully may be a type of obstacle, something that yells, something that comes against our purpose and your power, we thank God that the bully is defeated. We thank you, God, that the bully was described, he was defined, but he was also defeated. And we're grateful, God. And we ask, Lord, that as these your people leave, God, on today, God, that you would watch over each one of us, that your word, like your word says in Hebrews 13:5, that you would never leave us and nor forsake us, God. We thank you for the promise as we face our bully on today. And we thank you, God, that your word says in Romans 8:37 in all things, that we were made to be more than conquerors through you, Jesus. And so we are grateful, God, that when we go before our bullies, that your Bible promises us that you have not given us a spirit of fear, God, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We thank you, God, that we have battled the bully and you have defeated the bully for us and through us. And Lord, as we go about our day on today, God, we thank you that we keep the promises of your word close to our heart to know that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together. So, God, we are not upset that the bully tried it. Yeah, he tried it. But we thank you, God, that you won it. And then, Father, as we walk out of this place, as we hang this phone up today and go about our day, we walk in victory. We walk in excitement. We are not victims. We're victors. We're not defeated, but we're champions. And not only this, but we're championing this for our family, for our children, for our husbands, our loved ones. We're championing this for them so that they don't have to go through this Goliath anymore because he's dead. He's gone. In your name, Jesus, we pray and we thank you, knowing that it is so and that it's well. In Jesus' name, God bless.